Hi, I'm Brian.
And I'm Sharon.
I had a 40-year porn addiction.
Porn was an unwelcome guest for 32 years of our marriage.
I found hope and freedom when I attended a Gateway to Freedom weekend.
And I found hope and the courage to begin my healing journey while attending Wives Care.
Don't be like us and allow porn to wreak havoc in your lives.
Reach out to Be Broken today.
To learn more about Gateway to Freedom, 3-day intensive for men, and Wives Care online groups, visit BeBroken.org or call 210-822-8201. That's BeBroken.org or 210-822-8201.
You're going to have a fear response when there is a threat. That is how you were wired by God. I mean, God knows and is deeply aware of all of the thoughts that we have in our hearts, all the thoughts that go through our minds. And he is not afraid to enter in with us with non-judgmental love and compassion.
Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another episode of the PSR Podcast, which is a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries. In this episode, I welcome back Kristen Carey to explore the mind-body connection, especially how our bodies respond to trauma and betrayal. Kristen shares insights from her ministry, Living Truth, explaining how God designed our nervous systems to protect us through natural responses like fight, flight, or freeze. We discuss the importance of compassion over shame, practical grounding techniques like the butterfly hug and even walking or jogging, and the vital role of community in healing. Kristen encourages us to honor our bodies as God's creation and to approach trauma recovery with patience, curiosity, and faith. To learn more about Kristen and her ministry, visit living-truth.org. For additional resources, you can visit our website at bebroken.org. And of course, I want to invite you to rate and review the podcast after watching or listening. You can do that on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, because it really does help others to find this content. Now, let's dive into today's helpful and hopeful conversation with Kristen. Well, all right. We have Kristen Carey back with us. So welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So a few years ago, we actually had you on to discuss what you call the Emmanuel approach in dealing with past traumas and hurts and just painful, you know, memories and situations. Really powerful stuff. We'll make sure to put that in the show notes, because that was one of our episodes that I think really got people thinking in new ways about how do they really deal with past pain and hurt and situations that they still feel stuck in. This time we had you back because we want to talk more about kind of the mind-body connection, the trauma-body connection. Can you share a little bit about your ministry, especially to betrayed spouses, and how you really started kind of navigating this body betrayal or body trauma connection? And then maybe we're going to see that that has more applications beyond just dealing with betrayed spouses.
Absolutely. So yes, my work specifically with betrayed women, I have been leading co-founded a ministry called Living Truth with my husband, and I lead groups for women. And what we've discovered is that invariably women going through betrayal are experiencing anywhere from moderate to severe trauma symptoms typically. And what happens when our brain, which has been created by God to keep us alive, when we perceive a threat, and the breaking of the covenant in marriage is a threat, that primary attachment relationship is threatened, and our vagus nerve, without our conscious awareness, sends a threat signal, and all kinds of a whole cascade of hormones like cortisol and adrenaline go rushing through our body, the frontal lobe of our brain, where we're able to use logic and have impulse control, kind of shuts down as our limbs get ready either for fighting or fleeing the threat. Well, that's really great if you're chased by a dog like I was once, and I was able to outrun it magically, miraculously. But when you're dealing with betrayal, which is a chronic and prolonged threat, the body really starts to break down. So many women that we've worked with who are going through betrayal, I've seen start to feel like I'm losing my mind. I think I'm crazy. And what I always say to them is, you're not crazy. You're traumatized. And your threat response has been going off like long term. And there are ways that God created our nervous systems that we can override that threat response so that we can get more into that calm, rest and digest nervous system state. When the nervous system is stuck in that high alert threat response, we typically wind up in either a fight response or a flight response. Or if the threat is prolonged and we perceive, I can't fight this and I can't flee it, then oftentimes we get stuck into a shutdown, numbed out, freeze response. And so if I am working with betrayed partners and I don't give them the empowerment to understand how God wired their nervous system, how he created their nervous system, and how to work with that threat response and calm and soothe their nervous system to go from that activated fight or flight state into a parasympathetic rest and digest state, then they just get stuck. It's like being on a hamster wheel in that chronic trauma response. And I think sometimes we, especially as Christians, we may think, well, I just have to have more faith. I have to forgive. I need to, you know, let this go. And we have kind of divorced ourselves from the mind-body connection that God made us a body. He made us with a nervous system. And it's just doing its job.
Yeah. Well, let's start to unpack that because, you know, I know we flew right out of the gates and you're saying Vegas and cortisol and all this kind of, and that can just feel like, whoa, you're blowing people's hair back because they're going, maybe I've never heard this. I don't understand this. Let's start very simply by just what you mentioned right there and the need to see that the body in the way that God created it, even in some of these responses that we don't fully understand or that sometimes confuse us, is actually good. Meaning, can you talk a little bit more about the goodness of how God has actually created our nervous system and created our brains and created our bodies? And that, can we start to reframe even as Christians, like, it is good that when you have a response that is giving you a warning, think of it like a light on your dashboard in your car, right? It's good that those lights are working properly because they're alerting you to something that needs attention, right?
That's a great analogy, Jonathan. Yeah. I mean, God created our nervous systems and our brains to keep us alive. So the threat response, when we perceive a threat, we need to listen to it rather than shutting it down. And so I teach women to like, just notice what is happening inside of your body. God, like you said, it's like the dashboard of your car that alerts you, you're about to run out of gas here. Paying attention to those signals. So for example, elevated heart rate, shallow breathing, tightness or tension in the head, neck, and shoulders. These are all signs that the body, there's lots of others too, right? But those are some of the signs that the body may be telling us, I am feeling threatened. I feel like I'm in this heightened alert state. Or I know so many women who are not able to get out of bed. They're not able to think clearly. They are having trouble functioning. And that is also your nervous system trying to keep you safe.
Now, you obviously in your ministry, you do so much work with betrayed wives, betrayed women.
Yeah.
When did you start to realize that this is not unique or only what happens to a wife when she goes through betrayal trauma, but is actually a very universal response that the body has for all kinds of trauma? Can you talk a little bit about how this is a bigger issue for the body for us to understand? And then maybe we can start to loop in more of our audience than only the betrayed wives, but realize, hey, the guys that are listening, the young people, the old people, whatever, it's like, we all have a body that was designed in order to respond this way. And why is that important for all of us to know?
Yes, Jonathan, it is so important. I really started practicing different grounding strategies with the women in my ministry to try to help them experience what it feels like to feel safe in their own body, to de-escalate that threat response And it is so incredibly effective. I started practicing some of these strategies in my own life.
Before we go there, can we talk a little bit more about the symptoms that people might, because you mentioned a few.
Sure.
Because I think that probably piqued some curiosity in folks and the entire audience, realizing, now, wait a second, you were talking about betrayed wives and you're saying breathing happens and heart rate. Not, is that something that would apply to me too?
It's everybody. It's the way God created our nervous system is to alert us to threat through physiological symptoms that are outside of our awareness and our control. So that part of the nervous system that sends the signal before we're even consciously aware that there's a threat. There's so many different symptoms. So I mentioned heart rate, respiration, muscle tension and tightness, digestion can shut down in this time period. Mm-hmm. We start to think like our thinking gets clouded. And tornado brain, like where there's all kinds of rotating, intrusive thoughts. These are...
You know, it's one thing that comes to my mind, and tell me if this would also apply. So imagine when a person gets news that a sudden death occurred to a loved one, and they talk about somebody going into shock, or somebody had they were in a car accident, and they go into shock. Is that part of what you're talking about here, about
Absolutely.
How the body just learns to sort of shut certain things down? So sometimes you'll even have a trauma where, let's say, somebody was sexually abused as a child and they go, I have no memory of that. That's part of that trauma, right?
Yeah, that is the brain trying to protect you and keep you safe. So in the case of sexual abuse, dissociation is what a lot of abuse victims do. And that's the brain's way of trying to block out the trauma, the overwhelm of what is happening in that moment. All of it is designed to try to keep us safe. And instead of like, I'm going to beat myself up because I'm like not breathing deeply and my heart's racing and like I have intrusive thoughts. If we can offer ourselves compassion, knowing, there's my God-given threat response. But the thing is, we're not even aware that that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Right. Or sometimes we might fly into a rage and shame ourselves and go, what just happened to me? I lost control. Well,
Go ahead.
What if you look at that as, okay, could that be your nervous system's fight response? Because if you dial it back, what happened before you went into that rage? And I'm not saying that being destructive is okay, but instead of shaming myself, well, I just need to pray more so I don't do that again. What if you look at it not from a moralistic, just purely spiritual standpoint, because we are not just spirit. We are body, mind, spirit. And so if your nervous system is shifting into a fight state because it perceives threat and you don't know that that's what's happening and you can't even fully identify what the threat is, which it's, to be fair, in the moment, it's almost impossible to use logic to figure this all out. In the beginning, you have to look back at an episode and go, okay, what happened? What was my threat? What was the threat? And for it's easy to see a lot of times in betrayal situations what the threat was. But this happens to all of us in everyday, in our everyday lives, is when we perceive or experience a real threat that we lose control. Because our nervous system is doing its job.
So let's talk. I want to talk before we get to like some grounding techniques and sort of like some of the answers to like, how do you respond and how do you start to get healthier in terms of healing and navigating some of these trauma responses and knowing how to sense your body and all that. Let's lean into that shame piece a little bit more, because I can imagine there are a lot in our audience. I would be one of them. That sort of creates these expectations of like, well, this is what a Christian should look like. This is how a Christian should sort of be. This is how they should respond to certain situations. And then you have trauma happen. And it's like all your best ideas about what you think a Christian should be, it's almost as if your body takes over and your faith goes offline.
Yeah.
And a lot of times then that can create shame because you have an expectation of like, I should not be hyperventilating. I should not be that just shows I have weak faith or whatever.
Yes.
Can you speak to the shame that can sometimes be associated with people's faith expectations when God has actually designed their body to show them something different that they need to look at in the moment?
Yes, I think that is so powerful. Well, first of all, in the way that we read the scripture, sometimes we'll pull out a verse and like, do not fear, right? Mm-hmm. And the reality is every human being has fear, and God wired us to notice things that are a threat. And there is a fear response, a shot of adrenaline and cortisol and stress hormones to alert us to take action. So when we look at verses like that, and it's almost like we want to spiritually bypass being human and not have to deal with the normal reaction. So when you have this shoulding on yourself, like you described, right, mm-hmm. where we think we should respond a certain way, I think it's really good to get curious about that and to ask, what does it mean in the scripture when it says, do not fear? Mm-hmm. Because you're going to have a fear response when there is a threat. That is how you were wired by God. And often if we respond in shame and, oh, I should be able to do this, I should be better, instead of responding with compassion, curiosity, and looking back and kind of investigating, like, what was that threat? I mean, God knows and is deeply aware of all of the thoughts that we have in our hearts, all mm-hmm. the thoughts that go through our minds. And he is not afraid to enter in with us with non-judgmental love and compassion.
Yeah, you know, I used to definitely have a shame lens that I saw all those do not fear instructions, because I was thinking God's making this moral judgment on me because I am afraid that somehow, right. Boy, I missed the mark, I'm less than or whatever. And as I went through my own recovery and started to understand the truth of my identity in Christ, the value of my identity in Christ, I realized God's a good dad. And so what he's doing is he's coming to his kids and saying, oh my goodness, I see fear all over you, but I'm here. So when he says, hey, don't be afraid, he's not going, don't be afraid, you sorry little fear monger. It's like he's saying, hey, you know what? Hey, look up here. He's lifting your chin. He's going, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. He actually knows just how afraid we are. And by the way, he's also saying, let's look at this together, because I created your body to give you that warning light. Mm-hmm. So you do need to address some things, but there's no shame in saying, I'm scared. Yeah. I'm full of anxiety. I've got depression. I've had trauma. I've got wounds. I've got, you know, questions. And so continue to help us reframe the positive nature of the warning system that God gives us in our bodies. And then we can talk about how do we respond to those warning lights.
I am constantly in my groups in Women in the Battle. We are at least twice every meeting asking, and more likely four times in every single meeting, we are asking women to do a body scan. Pay attention to your body. What do you notice? So I'll say to our listeners right now, is your jaw clenched?
Hmm.
How tight is your neck? If you try to move your head or your neck side to side, right and left, and it's super tight, then you're probably stuck in some kind of a fight or flight response. Notice tightness or tension in any of your muscles. What does your belly feel like? Is it tight and knotted up with anxiety, or is it soft? All of this starts with becoming aware of what is going on in our bodies. And as Christians, I think we think that our spirit is more valuable or important than our body, but that doesn't actually come from scripture. There's a whole other podcast about why we do that, why we separate it out. But God dwells in your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not selfish or self-centered or navel-gazing to be attuned to the warning signals that your body is giving you. Most of us are not even paying attention. We're not even aware of the stress that we are carrying and holding in our bodies. So the first step is just becoming aware and noticing it And then instead of shaming myself, oh yeah, my jaw is clenched and my jaw is constantly clenched. That's actually one of mine, is I've noticed like I am constantly grinding my teeth or clenching my jaw. It's like gearing up for a fight. If you grew up in a family where you were not safe to just be who you are and you had to perform and achieve and make your parents look better, or you endured overt abuse, then the chances that your nervous system is stuck in one of these threat responses, like perpetually as a baseline, are pretty high. But we're not even aware of what calm, peace, and safety as a way of living feels like in our bodies. Because that is not just a spiritual state. It is a physical body state.
That's good. So I'm sure we've at least gotten people to imagine the reality of the body-spirit connection, the body-trauma connection. But let's start going to a place of, okay, now that maybe you've mentioned a lot of things that could give people an indication of what is going on in my body, the idea of a body scan. And maybe some people are going, yeah, my neck is tight, or you know what, I feel on my shoulders, or I've got a gut tightness or whatever.
Yeah.
So what do we do in order to respond to those warning lights in a way that is good for our soul and good for our body in terms of healing and growth?
Well, the first thing I would ask a person to do is to notice the nature of their breathing, because breathing is something that happens. It's part of the autonomic nervous system, meaning it's automatic and we're not consciously directing it all the time, but we can consciously direct our breathing. So rather than shallow, can I deepen and extend my breathing? There's all kinds of different ways to do breath work. And when you start deep breathing, your heart rate goes down. When you bring gentle movement to areas of your body that are tight or tense, like for example, you let your jaw go slack instead of clenched, and you consciously slow and steady your breath, that can make a big difference, like pretty quickly for a lot of people. But we're really good at judging ourselves. And so if you try doing this, dear listeners, and you're like, this doesn't work for me, I don't need deep breathing, I need something else, maybe your body does need something else.
I was smiling when you said that, because I'm like, I bet their jaw just clenched when they were yelling at you, Kristen.
Yes. And here's the thing. Not every grounding strategy works for every person every time. Grounding just meaning getting present in your body and allowing your nervous system to go from that activated fight or flight state into a more rest and digest state.
I think that's a good point to bring up too. And maybe you can even just say a little bit more about that, is while this body trauma connection is universal for all humans, we don't have the same bodies and we don't have the exact same body trauma connections, right? So can you talk a little bit about just there's uniqueness, and therefore you also need to explore maybe some of these grounding techniques because there is uniqueness in our body trauma connections.
Yes, yes. Oh, I also want to say this, Jonathan, is that some women who practice one of these strategies on their own are like, that doesn't work for me. And then they practice it in group where a facilitator is leading it and it completely clicks. Hmm. And then of course, you know, we shame ourselves. Like, I can't do it by myself. I'm not good enough. Right. When in fact, it's that God made us relational creatures, and the relational circuits of your brain are turned on when you're with somebody who you feel safe with, somebody who's glad to be with you. And co-regulation is the name of the term of when you're regulating, not just by yourself, but with other people that you feel safe with. It's like giving you an added benefit. So there's reasons designed by God why some of these things work better in certain contexts and not in others. And if we can look at that with compassion instead of self-criticism, blame, and judgment, it makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Can we actually, I'd love to do one of them that actually was taught to me in terms of just one of these, especially thinking about the vagus nerve and just starting to kind of self-regulate, because you talk about regulation, right? And this is for the people that are on the video, maybe it'd be easier, but the idea of doing the butterfly tap. And
yes.
So people who are only listening, I've basically taken my thumbs and basically made a butterfly that's facing me. And then I'm taking my hands on my right and left shoulder, really by my collarbone, and then just slowly tapping. And then one of the things that you can do is you can combine this with a breathing technique. And sometimes it's even great to do with like scripture and just repeating a scripture or a word or something. And over time, if you give it a few minutes, it has a way of, it calms your heart. It starts to just kind of give you a place of, okay, I'm safe. And the tapping, can you talk a little bit about what is happening when you're tapping yourself on your body in that way?
So this is a form of bilateral stimulation where you're tapping one side of the body and then the other, which is just very calming to the brain. If you've ever gone to therapy and done EMDR, which is a form of trauma therapy where they use either lights, sensors, like little buzzers mm-hmm. or sound to stimulate one side of the body, then the other. Guess what else is bilateral stimulation? Walking, running, which is why, like intuitively, before I knew about any of this, my go-to stress relieving activity would be walking.
Mm.
It's interesting. I like to ask people, what do you do when you're stressed? What do you do to calm yourself down? Now, there are certain things that are really just a form of avoidance, like scrolling on our phones, right? I mean, and I'm not saying that's bad, right? Occasionally that's fine, but it's like, that's probably not actually calming your nervous system, like long-term for good relief. It might be just more of a numbing, avoiding, distracting technique, but you have to determine that for yourself. But what are some things that are genuinely comforting and calming? Cuddling with an animal. Like, and involving all of your senses. So like, I'm a cat person. Don't judge me. I know some people hate cats. I love how God made this. The frequency of a cat's purr is very soothing to the human nervous system. So I will pet my cat. I will so I'm using my sense of feeling. I can hear the purr and actually feel the purr. And that is also, that is another example of a way that when I feel stressed, I will go and cuddle with one of my cats or go take a walk. So ask yourself what you'll do when you're in that stress response and just notice that what you're doing is regulating your nervous system.
One of the things I find interesting is the scriptures talk about us walking with God, right? It even talks about at the very beginning, Adam walked with God. And guess what? That wasn't a euphemism. That wasn't some kind of... He was literally, like, physically walking with God. And so I think that's, again, God bringing body and spirit together and saying, these are not opposed to one another. They're integrated. So what are some other things as we kind of start to land the plane here? What else should we know about this body trauma response and how we can not just maybe going beyond just self-regulation, but maybe even learning how to be quicker with seeing the warning lights, or how to maybe make the adjustments, or maybe to even develop some disciplines that are part of our regulation to have peace physically and spiritually moving forward?
I love to encourage the practice of some regulation strategies, not when you're stressed, but when you're calm. Because if you practice like that butterfly hug that you just let us in, Jonathan, if you practice that when you're calm, let's say you set a 5-minute timer and you do it every night before bed, it becomes a habit and it becomes a neural pathway in your brain that this is what I do to calm myself to go to bed. Then when you're stressed, as soon as you realize, oh, I might be in a fight or flight state, you could do something like that to calm yourself down. But it generally has to start with practicing it in more of a state of calm before it becomes accessible to do when you're in that heightened hyper arousal state.
Yeah. And you mentioned previously the difference that somebody had doing this by themselves and doing it in a group. Can you talk about the value and even the necessity of community as we navigate the realities of our traumas and hurts and also learn how do we make this better body trauma connection?
Well, both recovering from unwanted sexual behavior and betrayal tends to be a very isolating experience. At that level of relational trauma for both members of the coupleship makes us want to hide. But the reality is that we desperately we're wounded in relationship. We desperately need relationship with safe people to heal. And that can be difficult, especially if our church families don't understand what we're dealing with and don't understand how to help us. But it is crucial. It's a crucial part of the recovery process.
So this has been a great conversation. I think it's really hopefully brought some understanding around, again, this body trauma connection, but also some helpful next steps that people can take. Where can our audience go to learn more about you and just some of the resources that you guys have at your ministry specifically for some of these kind of issues?
Okay. So living-truth.org is our website. And then I believe I've given you like links to we're on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram and TikTok, all the things. And I do love to share, especially like in my private Facebook group, just for betrayed partners, videos, tools, and tips to help regulate, help learn how to deal with the stress response. So we also do have a podcast, the Living Truth Podcast, where I do talk about this topic.
Yeah. Well, we're going to make sure that all of that is in the show notes, but Kristen, again, it's always a pleasure to have you on and to connect with you. So thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah. Well, listeners and viewers, like I said, we're going to put all those links in the show notes. We want to help you take your next best step to wholeness in Christ. So please reach out to us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.